Blog Talk Radio.
Bless God, saints. This is Tafwe Nioni, your host of In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for listening to the show today on Saturday, August 9th, 2008. Today's show is going to be very informative, so you want to make sure to bookmark this show as your favorite so you can refer back to it to refresh your mind daily with the word that Minister Sturtevant has for us today. And he's calling in right now, so hold on a second.
Hello, Nayla.
Minister Sturtevant?
Yes.
How are you?
I am wonderful. And yourself?
I am terrific. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yes.
I was just letting the listeners know that they need to bookmark this show as a favorite because you have some dynamic words that you're going to share with us today.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. Y'all sure do need to mark it.
Well, I'm glad the Lord has given us this opportunity today.
Yes.
And I also want to remind the guests to don't forget to sign in our guest book, and you do that by leaving a comment to share your thoughts about the show. And your thoughts are very important to us, so please be liberal in your comments. And do visit us at womeninthelord.net to get more information and to join our mailing list. And also, the chat room is open, so if you want to send an electronic question to Minister Sturtevant, please feel free to do so now. The call-in number, in case you have any questions for the guest, is 646-716-5180. And again, thank you so much for joining us, Minister Sturtevant.
Yes, you're quite welcome. Quite welcome.
Mr. Sturtevant is co-hosting a show with us today, and he's from Durham, North Carolina. He is also the founder of Campaign for Wealth, for which he will tell us a whole lot about and give us a wealth of information. And he's with us today, and he'll share his inspiration for his model of marketing combined wealth. Again, if you have any questions for Minister Sturtevant, the number to call in is 646-716-5180. And thank you again for your time with us today, Minister Sturtevant.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
You have been really diligent in your search of the scriptures to get all the nuggets God has about debt elimination and prosperity. What motivated you initially to begin studying and teaching on this particular topic?
Well, I often dealt with money management throughout my lifetime. Most of my working life have been dealing with money management in some capacity. And I'm a real estate investor, and so I've dealt with it from the real estate standpoint. And then my first inspiration for really dealing with money management came from a course from the Charles Givens Foundation. It's a very, very good course about personal finances, and then they touched on real estate. But at first, my first focus was on their personal finance. And so in there, I learned a lot of things about managing money and dealing with taxes and paying off debt and how to really stay focused on strategic planning for life. You know, one of the things that he shared in there was that if a husband and wife is working, that one of the incomes should be free income, free to invest, free to do other things with other than live on. And excuse me. And that was one of the things that I practiced, that I've practiced throughout my lifetime, is that as my wife and I got married, and we began to we bought a home, and then car, then furniture, you know, and the things that you need, and then having children. One of the things that we always did our best to do was to keep one income focused on our future. And so what we did was we invested the other income. And one income took care of the household, the other income invested. We invested. Majority of it was spent on investing. And so that was just
Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt. What investments, like, because I know you say you were in real estate.
Yes.
And so are you talking mutual funds as well?
It, you know, The vehicle matters, of course it does, but we use real estate primarily. And I did buy a few stock. I've done a few other things, but we use primarily real estate. Actually, I have some very good success with some stock, but I have never focused on stock as being my primary focus.
I see.
Okay. So in that whole process, it allowed us to begin to build, I'll just say, build wealth and to multiply that. Okay. And then from there, as we've come along, I became a real estate investor where I really spent a lot of my focus on that. And then that really took over, and it retired me from working anywhere else other than in as a real estate investor. And then it later retired my wife from working anywhere else other than with our company. Okay. So that was a pretty good plan, and I think it's one that many people could follow if they, just need to make the decision. Even if they're not able to do that today, they could plan for it. They could plan for that to take place, where that one income takes care of everything related to their daily living, and then another income is focused on building a future.
And, that is a dynamic concept also for a two-adult income-earning household.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, today in society, there are so many single-parent households, especially headed by single women, who barely
mm-hmm.
have enough money to make ends meet themselves.
Okay.
What would you suggest to them as freeing up some income and focusing on the future? In other words, having some type of strategic plan for life.
Mm-hmm. The first thing I would say that a person do is to begin to streamline. No matter where you are today, you begin to streamline to make sure that you can invest at least 10% of your income. That's kind of a rule of life. I say 10% to the Lord and the second 10% to yourself. Even if you look in Scripture and you see the children of Israel crossing the Jordan, the first place they captured was dedicated to the Lord, 100% of it. And then the second place, 100% of it was dedicated to the people. So all the treasure or the spoils of war that from Ai went to the people, and the spoils from Jericho went to the Lord. And so that just shows a pattern that we should follow. So if we're going to say that 10% belongs to the Lord, or the first tenth belongs to the Lord, then, that's what we should do. Then if we're going to say that then the second tenth belongs to us, then from there we deal with the things and responsibilities that we have. So if that's not possible today, then here are some basic suggestions. Number one, look at the things that you're spending money on and see where you can save money. Maybe by cutting out something. If you drink coffee, just something so simple as that, just by cutting back on coffee might free up $10 a month, just $10, okay? And then if you have cable you may be able to cut back on the number of channels you're providing, and that may save you another $20, $25, okay? And in some cases, $50, $75. So we're going to say we're up to $70 by now, over $50 just by doing those couple little things. Okay, then you look at what else can you do? There are things that you are doing that can be altered. In most cases, that will free up money, even if it's eating out for lunch, or eating out at dinner, or taking your kids out. Do something, do those things, cut back on those things until you're able to get that 10%. Before you do these things, before you think of working somewhere else, okay, look at where you can trim and not necessarily curtail or change your lifestyle, but just make your lifestyle a little leaner, that it might be able to you might be able to get to that 10%. So that's my first thing. And then one of the other things that I would suggest is look for things that you have that you can sell. This is these are two big items. The first one I'm talking about, looking at where you can save money on, or something you can cut out, eliminate, or cut back on, that doesn't necessarily impact your lifestyle that much, but it will free up you $10, $20, $50, even $100 a month by changing what you're doing. Then from there, you look at what do you have that you can sell. There's a lot of things. Most people have a lot of stuff that they can get rid of. Even if it's just take it to a consignment shop and let them sell it, or trade with somebody, sell it to them in bulk and get you a few hundred dollars, and then take that money and eliminate a bill. That'll free up more money. So looking at what you have, you're always looking at what you have to work with right now. That's the point to begin with in terms of managing money. Look at what you have. Look at where you can trim. We're going to call it trim the fat, but not necessarily the lifestyle.
Absolutely, and you've demonstrated that so eloquently, because if we just go back to the basic and cut back on some of the spending,
mm-hmm.
one of the things that you illustrated, for instance, is with the cable bills.
Mm-hmm.
Those bills can be enormous every month, just adding all the other additional features
mm-hmm.
and the extra movie channels. That's about $100-something a month right there, and if we cut back on some of those features, as you said, we can save $50 or $60 additional, and then that money can be used to pay down some of the bills.
Yes. And so those things begins to create additional cash flow. Once you begin to create that cash flow, you look at setting that money aside to where you can at least get to 10% being set aside. I would say that there may be even a greater target of getting to 20%. But for starters, the first major goal is to reach the 10% level of setting aside money. And that will begin to, you can plan some future out of that. If you have a 401k plan, then go to the maximum on that. That might be one of the big things about a 401k plan is the matching portion. If they're matching funds, that is a marvelous thing. If they're matching 25 cents on the dollar, you just earn 25% in an instant by putting the money into that account. Okay? If they're matching $10, 10%, that is marvelous because that's 10% guaranteed right up front. So those kinds of things begin to, and then it reduces the amount of taxable dollars that you have. So doing those basic things begin to free up money and get you towards that 10% goal. Once you are on the track of the 10% goal, then you can look at what can I really do with the 10%. How can I invest that 10% that will allow me to improve my life?
Absolutely. And I just want to acknowledge the fact that we have Prophetess Andrea Washington just joined us in the chat room, and thank you for that. And this is a new element for me, so I'm not sure if she's in the process of typing a question or not, but I'd like to take this opportunity to give the guests a chance to call in for questions for Minister Sturtevant. Again, the number is 646-716-5180. So, Minister, people are really tired of being broke, busted, and disgusted. And what are you offering to those who are disenfranchised that will motivate them to join in your campaign for wealth? How do you motivate them?
Well, I think the motivation must come from inside. They must have the desire to change, that they are tired of being broke, that they're tired of the missed and lost opportunities that they're missing in life. And so to begin that process, you've got to decide that I want something different. There's got to be a better way. And so the first thing is to recognize, to me, is that God intended a better life for people, point blank. God intended a better life. Before he created man, it says in Genesis 1 and 26, let us create man in our own image and likeness. Let him rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and let him rule over all the earth. Now, that's pretty significant, that you are to rule over all the earth. So that means that you were not meant to be burdened with debt, or that you were meant to be burdened with even jobs as we know them today. And so to realize who you are and how significant that is, that you're made in the image of God, and that God intended a better life for you, that to me probably is the biggest motivator. It was for me to realize, I want to stress this, for me, one of the great motivators to change my life was to really recognize that God intended for me to live above debt, intended for me to live an abundant life. As Scripture says, he says, Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And then the next verse, which people ignore sometimes, or the one that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who's never believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It says that he came to not to condemn the world, but to save it. Okay? So my point there is that he intended for me to have an abundant life. So if that should motivate you to say, okay, I don't have that right now. What am I missing? And so I'll pause right there. I know I'm running on, but there are some other things that I can say, but I just want to see if I'm on track to where you want to take this. But that is so critical for me. That was something that helped change my life.
And we appreciate that. And anything that you have to share with us, we are on track with.
Okay.
And you made a couple of good points there a moment ago. You said that it's not God's desire for us to be burdened with a job. And people, in order for them to be motivated to change, I think they have to recognize that God is their source, not
yes.
job, not other people or things. God supplies all of our needs. But
mm-hmm.
that's a mindset that people have to develop, and that's a process that takes time.
Mm-hmm. It comes with, to me, it comes with studying the Word to see, not just listening to people preach, or and the many things that we engage in to get our sources or our information about the Word, but to really study the Word. And once you begin that process of really studying the Word, God will show you what he intended for your life. Okay? And in a book that I read, it talked about the power of studying Genesis chapter 1. But more particularly from Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis the 5th chapter. He says all of life is wrapped up in those 5 chapters, the root, the seed, it's the beginning. And everything that you deal with in life comes through those processes that take place in those 5 chapters. And so I began to do that, and it began to help me understand I'll just say some of God's intentions for my life, such as, like I said, to rule over all the earth. That means that, and then the second thing is that to be fruitful and to multiply, and that I'm blessed by God. It says God blessed them, blessed man from the beginning, male and female. He blessed them. Then he said, be fruitful and multiply. So those kinds of things help me to say, well, I'm not doing those things. It helped me look at myself. Let me look in the mirror to say, see where I was at. And once I realized that, I said, Scripture tells me that there's a better way. So I wanted to seek that. And that's where I began.
And I'd like to open up the phone lines again to the callers. If you have a question or a comment for Minister Sturtevant, please feel free to call in at 646-716-5180.
Okay. You
so
ask
Minister
about
Sturtevant.
Yeah, go ahead.
Talk to us a little bit about your campaign for wealth and what your inspiration
right.
was.
Okay. That was exactly where I was at. I was going to say you asked specifically about the campaign for wealth. My inspiration came from the word itself. As I looked at in the scripture and I saw within the scripture, it was, I would say, a revelation. No teacher, no preacher had ever pointed out to me that in there it says, anything about being in debt, distress, and discontent. Okay? And in the first, the 22nd chapter of 1 Samuel, it talks about David in his running from Saul, in other words. Okay? And as it begins that, it says, all those who were in distress, in debt, and discontent gathered around him, and he became their leader. And I went, oh, my goodness. You know, David made an army out of people who were in debt, in distress, and discontent. And are people in debt today?
Yes, indeed.
Are they in distress today?
Most definitely.
And are they discontent today?
Absolutely.
Okay. And with that, I was like, whoa. So I began to read everything I could about that. And so as I proceeded through that process, it became clear that David, he began this, you know, as it began to fight, deal with the people in Judah and Judea and across that land, he shared the spoils with it. So I wanted to design with the people who were in debt, discontent, and in distress. And so I wanted to design a program that could model that. And see, it said that David was a man after God's own heart. And so I wanted to model something that could work for everybody. And that's how I came on the path of developing the actual program, of how it works and why it works the way that it do. The actual inspiration, that was what you asked, and I apologize, was a guy named Clay Parker and that started me studying the debt in detail from the Bible. He asked a question one day as I was showing him a house. I showed him a house that was worth about $600,000. He could get it for about $4,000. And I shared with him the types of mortgages that he should get. And he said to me, he says, what about the scripture that says, let no debt remain outstanding? And so I was like, huh? He says, and so I answered the question. I says, you know, well, the Bible does talk about that. And I justified it. And I said, well, there's good debt and bad debt, and a mortgage is good debt, and credit card and all of these kinds of things are bad debt because that's what I've been taught. And so as we went through that whole process, and then I was telling him again about the house and how wonderful it would be and what kind of deal he could get, and he says, what about the scripture that says, let no debt remain outstanding? And then I told him some other things, And as we walked through that whole process, he came back to the same thing. He stood on the word to say, what about the scripture that says, let no debt remain outstanding? And I went away from that with that in the back of my mind. You know, although I didn't have a Bible answer, all I had were men answers, it stuck in my head. I really looked at him as though he was the one missing the point and a little crazy, a little off the mark, etc. Until one day I was writing an article called A Debt-Free Lifestyle, and I was sitting there, and this took place about 2 years later. And as I was writing that article, I just said I had an inspiration from the Lord. And in that inspiration, it took me back to the scripture that he has, let no debt remain outstanding. And in that scripture, and just following it, it says, for love does its neighbor no harm. And love is the summation of the law, to love your neighbor as yourself. And that whatever, basically, whatever I want for me, I must want for my neighbor. And I was like, for the first time, I understood that. So if I want something for me, in other words, if I want to be debt-free, I need to show somebody else how to be debt-free. And for the first time, I understood what really love thy neighbor as thyself means. What do unto others as you would have them do unto you mean, and not do unto others before they do it to you, and all of these kinds of things, okay? And it began to make sense. And from there, I began to study debt, and I looked at how they built things in the Bible, how they accomplished things. And they worked as one man. They worked, in other words, with the same cause, a similar purpose, etc. God himself said that if these people being of one mind and one purpose, nothing shall be impossible for them. And then Jesus said, all things are possible with God. And the story goes on. But what I saw in the scriptures were where they begin to build the tabernacle in the, I'm going to say in the desert, under Moses. And it says the people who were willing came together, and they brought their gold, their silver, their precious jewels. Then they brought the supplies and the linen and the cloth and all of these kinds of things. And then it says they combined their gifts, talents, and abilities to build this thing. And I go, oh, that's all a company does. You see, a company hires somebody as a janitor, hires somebody as a secretary, somebody as a manager, and an engineer and an artist and all of these kinds of things. And it brings them together. And I go, oh, but they didn't have anybody to rule over them to make them do it. They just had, you know, they talked about what they wanted to do and they went together to do it. And so I looked at that and I was like, wow. And then as I looked at Solomon building the temple, the same thing took place. Them building the wall of Jericho, Jerusalem, rather, the same thing took place. And I looked at the progress in David in his campaigns across the Jerusalem and Jericho, and that's where I got the word campaign from, was from the fact that they talked about David made campaigns across that country, okay? Those were things that were so significant to me in my study of the scriptures. And so everything that I began to work on was to help, was to build this, where that people could bring their gifts, talents, and abilities together under one umbrella. And if the more people bring them to this one umbrella, the more people can be free of their jobs. They don't have to work those jobs anymore, because they're now building wealth otherwise.
And do you want to outline, do you want to take a moment to outline how that can happen, the steps necessary to do that?
Okay. It's very, very easy, very simple. There are common things to all businesses or to all people. If you're looking at a business and a product, the person who has a business or a product or a service, one of the things that they need is marketing. Okay, so we design a business where the person can advertise their business, product, or service. So now, even if I'm in the car business and there's a car dealer across the street, by us being in the same marketplace, it does not, we're not in competition with one another. They're both in the same phone book. They're both in the Yellow Pages. They're both in various other arenas. They're both on the same street even. So they're not in competition with each other in that sense. So if we build a marketplace that they can both advertise in, if they both have running advertisements on the television, they're not competing with their advertisement. They're just paying their money to advertise their company, their product, and their service. And so that was one of the things that we designed, was the way to do that. And now for individuals who don't have that kind of money, we design a community site where you can post videos, where you can post different things. So now you can create your own commercials and advertise your own products through that process. And by being able to do that, the program allows members to share revenue with one another. If you introduce somebody, such as any business that has an affiliate program or a multi-level program, if you introduce somebody, you sell the product or the service, then you're entitled to a commission. So we introduce that aspect in there.
So that I'm sorry, that's sort of like, what is it, network marketing, multi-level marketing concept?
Yes, but mostly that does is it controls the way you're paid. You know, that's really all it does. It's really called a management program from when you're looking at the software that used to operate it. It is no such thing as multi-level marketing software. It's called a management program that manages how people are paid.
Okay.
And so we use that model for managing, you know, the payments that are being made to people. Then the second thing that we do is that when people advertise, we share those advertising dollars with the consumer. So it's kind of like having three gears, and we're going to say one is the consumer who has no business, who has no product or service to sell to the public. And we're going to say another one is a business or an individual, it doesn't matter, who has a business, a product or service that he's offering to the public. And the third component is the company. And you put all three of those gears together where they're working together. They're each sharing revenue with one another. The revenue dollars that would just normally come to the company, meaning the advertising dollars, we're sharing those back with the members and with the company. And the dollars for membership, if you introduce someone to the company, then we're sharing those dollars with the people who do the introduction. So that turns the other gear. The people who have the products and services, they want to advertise those products and services. So they pay money to advertise those products and services to the consumers. And when they do, we share those dollars with the consumers, because they are instrumental in bringing those people to the company.
Do you want to take a moment and give out the web address where people can go to get more information about the Campaign for Wealth?
Yes. The website address is www.campaignforwealth.com. Www.campaignforwealth.com. And you can go there and you can see the I'll call it the sales letter that tells you about the company, and then you can see the marketplace and see ads that people have there for their business, product, or service, and you can also see the community there where people can post things about themselves or about their business or even about you know, anything else that they would like to. And so
would have to join, though, in order to get access to the community site.
No, they do not have to join to have access.
Okay.
Those are we bring to the table a lot of free things. They have to join in order to share revenue.
Okay.
You can advertise your business and product on the marketplace or in the community and never spend a dime. But you cannot make any money without being a member of the Campaign for Wealth.
Okay, and on that note, I'm going to give the guests another opportunity to call in before we go to break. The number is 646-716-5180, and we're going to take a brief break for a moment.
Okay.
We're going to pause right now to take a break and give our guests an opportunity to refresh themselves. We'll be back live in less than 2 minutes. In the meantime, I'd like to take a moment to remember television and movie actor and comedian Mr. Bernie Mac, who passed away this morning after a long illness. Our prayers are for his family this day, as well as the family of Brother Yusef Salim. Brother Yusef was a fine jazz and blues musician here in the Durham, North Carolina area, and he was loved by so many people. I had the pleasure of meeting him on several occasions. He was a blessing to anyone who had the opportunity to be in his presence. If you go to our website, womeninthelord.net, and click on the In the News tab, you'll find a link to a slideshow with pictures from the memorial service they had last week for Brother Salim. The memorial service was held here in Durham at the Hayti Heritage Center. Again, the website is womeninthelord.net if you'd like to view a slideshow of the memorial service for Brother Yusef Salim. This is your host, Tafwe Nayoni of Blog Talk Radio's In the Spirit, and we'll be back with you in a few moments. Also, please feel free to call in at 646-746-5180 for your questions or comments to our guest, Minister Ronnie Sternvin. We'll be back shortly.
So the phone lines are open again. If you'd like to call in with a question for Minister Sturtevant, please feel free to call 646-716-5180. Minister Sturtevant.
Yes.
Do you think people have to have an open mind to receive prosperity?
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the great challenges for people is that they're not open to receive the blessings that are available to them. Okay? Meaning that there is so much available to them to improve their life, but they do not receive it. They won't receive the thing that's available to them. I'll give you an example just from nature every day. Wealth is abundant. As Scripture says, the land that I have given you is blessed. I have blessed. It's richly blessed. So in America, we sell dirt. We sell water. We sell grass. We even sell manure. We sell air. We sell thought. We sell just general information. So with all of that, the blessings are available, but people many times, even who have the skills, gifts, talents, and abilities to be creative, to make art or to make music, they never put them to work for them. They rather go out and work for money.
Why do you think that is?
Because they're not open to the abundance that God has for them, to what the blessing that God has available for them. They don't have the faith to act on their gifts, talents, and abilities. And using this example from Scripture is the story of the talents. Many people take their talents and bury them in the sand. And so with that, they are not open to the blessing that can come from investing those talents to make them multiply.
Exactly. And also, I think fear may be a factor as well.
Of course.
You know, not only not having enough faith in their ability, but again, trusting the gifts and talents that God put inside of them.
Yes. In that illustration in the story of the talents, he says, I was afraid. The first thing he said is, I was afraid. And so that fear paralyzes. Fear keeps the person from doing the things that would benefit them the most.
Exactly. And again, the phone lines are open. If you have a call or a comment for Minister Sturtevant, the number to call is 646-716-5180. And we have about 19 minutes remaining on the show.
Okay.
So yeah. How in the world can poverty be a Christian virtue when poverty causes most of the world's problems?
Well, poverty is not. That is man talking. As a matter of fact, poverty is listed amongst the curses in Scripture. Borrowing is listed among the curses. Someone ruling over you is listed among the curses. You being the tail is listed among the curses. So the things that these things have of the curses that curse man and not bless man. And if a person wants the blessing, then he must be obedient to the word to do the things that will allow him to reap the blessings.
Absolutely. And I heard you say once before that poverty is a sin and is definitely not a blessing. And so when we open our mind to prosperity, we realize through study and the application of the mental and spiritual laws of prosperity that we're not trying to make God give us anything. Because the Bible promises us in 1 Corinthians 3:21, I think, that all things are already ours.
Precisely.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Mm-hmm. And so if and even from the very beginning, that's why I keep stressing Genesis chapter 1, Genesis 1 through 5. But in chapter 1, he says, before he created man, he says, let us make man in our own image and likeness. Let him rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. Let him rule over all the earth. And so it said from the very beginning that you would have dominion. And then verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. So he didn't just think about it, he did it. So that's the difference. He did it. He actually did it. He gave you dominion. Then the next verse said he blessed them, and he says, be fruitful and increase. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living creature that moves. And then it goes on and says, and God saw all that he had made and said it was very good. So with those things being said about us, right there should give us some confidence.
Absolutely. I was having a discussion with a friend the other day, and one of the things that we were talking about is that we have a tendency to relate to God sort of on a human level and not give him the due spiritual honor that's due him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a result of that, we put him on the same level as people, and people have a tendency to let us down and disappoint us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for that very reason, people have a hard time trusting and having faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's given us, what we've inherited by just virtue of being a child of God. And it's hard for them to conceive and accept the fact that, yes, God is my heavenly Father, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and I have the same power and ability to create the prosperity, the worth, to live the abundant life.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You see, one thing that I'll just say I haven't heard anybody really teaching is that God or the God of the world is doing everything he possibly can to give us the desires of our hearts. Okay? See, in Numbers 14:28, he says, "As surely as I live, I will do to them the very things I heard them say." It says that whatever we're saying, that's what he's going to give us.
Absolutely.
Okay? Then in Job 22 and 28, it says, "You shall decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you." So what you're saying is what's being made manifest in your life. Then it says, "Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Okay, so our tongue is producing the life that we are living. And then one other scripture that says that is God's good pleasure, and Jesus was talking here, to give us the kingdom. I think this is in Luke 11. I'm not quite positive of that. And in that scripture, he's saying that, you know, it's God's pleasure to give us the kingdom, that the kingdom is ours and that God wants to give it to us. So what are we thinking when we're, I'll just say, not accepting the benefits and the blessings of the Lord? Okay, is that if we miss that, if we're not opening ourselves up to receive the fact that what Jesus says, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." If we're not recognizing that it's his pleasure for us to have the things that we want in life, then we're missing that. We'll never receive it. We'll never have it if we don't expect it. That's my point. If we're not looking forward to those things happening, then we will never get them.
Absolutely. And the word also says that faith without works is dead. And you've brought up three good points, because you said it has to be a thought first in our mind. Mm-hmm. And then we have to speak that word out of our mouth. Mm-hmm. It's thoughts, word, and deed, and they all work together. We can't have one element, one part of that without the other ones. You know, we have to see it in our minds and believe it in our hearts and then speak it out of our mouth in order for our prosperity to manifest in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can sit around and think about it all day long, but if we don't speak the life into existence that we want, and then get up and do something about it, it's not going to happen through osmosis.
Precisely. Precisely. Yeah, and actually that, excuse me. It's the 12th chapter of Luke, and it says that it's your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. He said, don't be afraid. It's the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, that's powerful. It pleases God to give you the things that that bring you, joy. Now, if we think of it on a human level, if we have children, aren't we pleased to give them things that benefit them, that make them better?
Yes, I would think.
Okay. And now, on a human level, if the child is disobedient, then you withhold some of those things. You still may feed. You still gonna feed him, I hope. You're still gonna maybe provide his clothes, but you're not gonna give him all those other blessings, okay? That you would give to him if he was a good and obedient child. So now God, in the way that he made the world, is designed to give you the things that you desire, but you must be obedient in order to get them. If you talk about planting a seed, and you plant that seed in the ground, and you give it water and you give it a little sunshine, then that seed is going to grow. But if you plant the seed over in the dark and never let it get any light, or you plant it somewhere and you never give it any water, the odds of that seed growing, and even if it does grow, it's going to be straggly. It's not going to be strong. It's not going to be healthy. And it's not going to produce any fruit. But if you plant it in good soil, in the sunlight, give it a little water, then it's going to produce an abundant fruit, and it's going to grow very well.
Absolutely. And the way we water those seeds now is with the Word of God and affirming the Word of God over every area of our lives.
That's exactly right. Go ahead.
And
I'm just saying, preach, girl, preach.
Oh. Let's talk about the book that you've written. I understand that you've written a book also about your campaign. Do you want to talk about that and tell the listeners how they can obtain a copy of it?
Okay. I have a book called God's Plan for Debt-Free Living. It was the inspiration for it came again from that whole conversation that I had with a gentleman named Clay Parker as I was showing him a piece of real estate. Well, this book, it really breaks down all of it, tells the whole story of about debt and how it impacts you physically and how it impacts you spiritually. It tells the story of why different things occurred in the Bible that you were meant to multiply. And if you don't multiply in Scripture, it says that if they didn't multiply on the land, then it was taken away from them. If the tree didn't multiply, Jesus withered this tree. When the man didn't multiply his talents, the talent was taken away from him. And it was given to someone who would produce its fruit. So it goes through all of those kinds of things to make sure that you understand that. It tells you, it shows you what the commandment is, and that's really only one commandment that we have to obey, and we'll call it two commandments in one, and that's to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus redefined that commandment to say this, is to love your neighbor as I have loved you. So you must love your neighbor. So he said that the way that God loves you is the way that you are to love your neighbor. And that's powerful.
It is indeed. And when I hear that statement, it reminds me so much of this phrase, we are truly our brother's keepers.
Yes.
And I think once people realize that and start acting, showing love toward each other and stop hating on our sisters and brothers, that would make such a significant change in society.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to take a moment. We have about 7 minutes left to the show to give the callers a chance to call in with your questions for Minister Sturdivant. The number is 646-716-5180. And if you want to submit a question electronically, the chat room is now open. Again, the call-in number is 646-716-5180. 5180. So, Minister Sturdivant, do you want to tell the listeners how they can obtain a copy of your book?
Okay. There are you can get it almost anywhere. You can go on online to lulu.com. That is my actual storefront, lulu.com. We are working on putting up a website that will be directly for that book and that book alone, but you can go to lulu.com, you can go to Amazon, you can go to Barnes & Noble online and order the book. They have not. You probably can order it in the stores, but the book is available pretty much through any of the usual channels for distribution. And so by going online and put in God's Plan for Debt-Free Living or putting in Ronnie Sturdivant, you should be able to come up with the book.
Okay. Thank you for that information.
It's also available on the Campaign for Wealth.
And I was getting ready to say again, I'm sure it's available on campaignforwealth.com.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Again, callers, we have about 5 minutes left, so if you want to get your calls, your questions in, call now at 646-716-5180. And also, please visit the chat room and send an electronic question or comment. Minister Sturdivant, we had talked earlier about that we won't be able to receive what's available for us if we're sort of living a double life. And
yes.
I think you and I had a previous conversation about that, mm-hmm. and you had mentioned something to the fact that we have two parts to us. Whatever we do in one role in our life, we carry over into the other roles.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that?
Well, in reality, we have one life, but we treat it as though we have two lives. We treat it as though we have a spiritual life and a everyday life. But there is only one life. You're only one. That's it. It says God is one. And that you are, as God is the tribunal of God, Jesus, and the Spirit, we are the same. We have a mind, a soul, and the flesh, okay? A spirit, a soul, and the flesh that we live in. But what happens is most of the time we never get them in alignment, okay? We never get them to be one. We think one thing, we do another, and we say something entirely different, okay? We have our minds going one way. We're doing something that we are thinking about, but yet we're saying at the same time, oh, this ain't going to work. Well, how can it work? You've already decreed that it wasn't going to work, so it's being established. So when it doesn't work, you've made the prophecy true. But if you get them in alignment, your mind, your words, and your actions, you say, this is going to work. Then you put your actions into place, your thought, your confidence in the fact that it's going to work, and I'm going to work at it until it manifests. And then your physical actions into place to make that thing manifest, it will manifest because that's God's promise. Now, because it didn't work the first time didn't mean that it wasn't going to work. Quit or try. I tried is really an excuse for failure on the road to success.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just an excuse for failure. It's justification for quitting.
Because you tried, you had an obstacle in your way, and instead of trying to overcome that obstacle, you just use it as an excuse to quit the race.
Right. And so what I'm saying is to get your mind on a thing, to get your thoughts, your words on that thing, to speak that thing into existence. I will, but I can. I'm doing this, etc. I think of the story, of the little train that could, and a little engine that could. And it says, I think I can, as he was working and pulling the load. But he kept on and he got the confidence that he could do it. And then when he reached the top of the hill, he shouted, in essence, hallelujah, blues whistle. but I like hallelujah better. So he did it. He gained confidence as he worked along the way, as he worked at doing it. But when he looked at the massive hill before him, he was questioning, he was doubting that he could do it. But by saying over and over, I think I can, he started to think that he could.
Amen.
And then he said, I know I can.
I'm going to give the callers one more opportunity to call into the show. We have about 1 minute left. The call-in number is 646-716-5180. Also, feel free to visit Minister Sturtevant's website at campaignforwealth.com. And if you want more information, you can also visit our website at womeninthelord.net. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you so much, Minister Sturtevant, for joining us today. And I'm telling you, it's just so much to talk about on this topic. We are definitely going to have you back on the show again very soon.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here.
And also to my listeners, it is our duty as children of God to develop a spiritual world and life view which will serve to guide all our thoughts and actions and that will lead us to a prosperous life. Thank you so much for tuning into the show today. This is your host, Tafwe Naioni, and you've been listening to In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio. I'll give you the last few seconds, Minister Sturtevant, to close us out.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be here, and I look forward to coming back at a later date and sharing with the world out there just more things that can bless us. All we have to do is to follow through. It's not about the thinking. It's not just about the talking. It is about the doing. Faith is doing. Faith is action. There's no such thing as undemonstrated faith. Always remember that. Faith is doing, not just talking.
Amen. Thank you so much, and you have a blessed day, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.